About anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament of the precious Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 3. Again, 1 Kings chapter 3, starting at verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You've continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I also have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Verses 3 through 15, 1 Kings chapter 3. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the story of Solomon and the opportunity he had to ask you for wisdom to be the kind of king you wanted him to be. Lord, thank you for the many, many life lessons that are found within that story. But thank you for the opportunity for us too, as believers, to be wise enough and humble enough to ask you for help in time of need, humble enough to ask you for wisdom to be what you want us to be, humble enough to seek you to really give time to prayer, knowing that we desperately need so much help in life in so many ways. Teach us and empower us, Lord, to be a people that walk in humility every day, recognize that we very much need your help, your wisdom, your guidance, your grace, your counsel, your empowerment, and so, so much more that only you can give us. Help us, teach us, and empower us to be a people that walk in humility every day of our lives. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I want to remind you as we get started today once again that our upcoming spring share-a-thon is just a few weeks away, and we are still hoping that you'll take time to give us a call and share a listener testimony, if you would, of how the Lord has or is using Urban Family to bless you, to strengthen you, to encourage you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a story of how God has used Urban Family Radio to impact you in some good ways, you and your family? Please call and share it. You can call this number, 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. Once again, 1-877-327-5647. Call that number and share a listener testimony that will be recorded, and you just might hear yourself on our upcoming Spring Share-a-thon just a few weeks away. Thank you again for joining us today here on the Hour of Intercession. Today, we're specifically wanting you to look with us at the topic of the humility of discipleship. Again, the humility of discipleship. And as we start off from the beginning, I want to help you get a clear understanding of what humility is, because, you know, the fact is we live in a world where lots of people don't really know what humility is and how important it is to all of life. In the book of James, James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." That was verses 6 and 7, James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, let me say this. These verses find themselves in a larger context of James chapter 4, where it's James, the Apostle James, is talking to believers about conflicts, difficulties, and just really walking in the flesh as well. So as we start off looking further at that chapter, I want to read the earlier portion of James chapter 4. It starts out, verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Continuing at verse 8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Again, we're looking at the topic of the humility of discipleship. And want, as we share today, I want you to grasp the fact that all of the Christian life can be encompassed in the word, that the work that is the work of following Christ can be encompassed in the word humility. It's submission to the word of God and the Spirit of God. Yet, many in the world would define humility very differently. Often we think of humble people as people who they don't talk much. They don't look you in the eye. They often walk around with their eyes to the ground. They shake hands very weakly and just seem like they're afraid of everything. That's not necessarily humility. That's timidity or fear. That, or it can be any of a number of other things. But humility is not necessarily, well, humility is not being fearful or timid. Humility is submission to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The most humble person that ever walked the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. He fully submitted to the Word of God and the Spirit of God at every moment in his life, never deviated, never got away from that. Now, we as believers, we're to strive to get closer and closer to the Lord and to become more and more like Christ. And though we're not perfect, we can strive to be moving towards perfection. That should be our goal. And so we, too, are called to walk and live a life of humility. And so as we break down for you what an understanding of humility really is about, I really want you to grasp it's very important that we understand why humility is critical to every believer. Listen again to James chapter 4, verse 6. A portion of the verse 6 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Again, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, the fact is, pride, it comes in many, many different forms. In fact, pride has at least a million plus different disguises. It comes in all different shapes and sizes. If you're wondering if you battle with pride, if you're alive, yes, you do. Every human being does. Every believer does. And for those that think they don't have a problem with it, they have a bigger problem with it, because all of us have to deal with pride. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that help us to humble ourselves and walk in humility before the Lord. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only human being that fully overcame pride throughout his life. Now, some may say, well, that was Jesus. He's God. He's the Son of God. He could do it. Well, keep in mind, there are certain things only Jesus could do, obviously, as the Son, the Lamb of God, the the Son of God. But there are many things Jesus did that not only can we do, God calls us to do, and one of them is to walk and live a life full of humility, that is submitting continually to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, keep in mind, Jesus always, always, always did what the Holy Spirit said. In his earthly ministry, he always followed the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. He never deviated from it. I want to share with you briefly, again, we're talking in about the topic of the humility of discipleship, but again, many important lessons we can learn from the Lord Jesus himself, as he, since he's our great role model. But in the Gospel of John, specifically in chapter 11, it says these words, chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. Now let me share this brief truth with you. Now remember, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus, close friends of Jesus, and Lazarus became ill on a particular occasion. And so Mary and Martha sent word they wanted Jesus to come quickly because Lazarus was so ill. But notice what it says. Verse 2 says, It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now notice, Jesus didn't drop everything and run to check on Lazarus. Why not? Remember, Lazarus is a close friend of his. Mary and Martha, they were all close friends. Why didn't Jesus drop everything and go to check on them? Because the Holy Spirit did not tell him to do that. And remember, Jesus never deviated from the leading of the Spirit of God, which is so important. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is always right. He always knows what to do. He always gets the will of God perfect every time. So we never are wrong to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus did. So he waited a couple days and, again, hasn't even started in that direction as of yet. And so then in verse 7, Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, I'll end the reading briefly there, but keep in mind, Jesus waited for a couple days before he even started to head in the direction of where Lazarus was. And so, but again, he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when you read the passage, and please take time to go back and read all of chapter 11, very powerful chapter with many important lessons. But when he arrives, Mary and Martha are not happy with the fact that Jesus took so long. When Jesus arrives, when he actually gets there, Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. So it's a good possibility that Jesus took a full week or so after he heard word of Lazarus' illness before he got there to check, got there to where Lazarus and his family was. So, but he was simply following the Holy Spirit, following the leading and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And again, how important it is that we learn that important lesson. Lord, thank you for the example that you give us in how you followed so powerfully and so carefully the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to recognize that your Spirit is speaking to us every single day. And as we live a life in close fellowship with you, as we live a life full of prayer, a life full of the Word of God, we'll learn to hear your Holy Spirit more and more clearly. Help us to be people that are listening every day and following your leading every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of the humility of discipleship. We'll be right back.
But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Martin Niemöller was a prominent Protestant pastor who emerged as an outspoken public foe of Adolf Hitler and spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. He's best remembered for the quote, "First they came for the socialist, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Freedom is never more than one generation away. If we are going to stand, today is the day."
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
One of my favorite jams is by the talented family Forever Jones called "He Wants It All." Every year, and even throughout New Year's, one thing on people's list to improve on, other than losing weight, is a closer relationship with Jesus. Today, right now, is always the best day to give our Heavenly Daddy your all. How do you do that, you ask? One great start is by asking Him, "What is it that you would have me to do today for your glory?" Keep in mind, it will consist of trials, faith, and guts. Yes, guts. Living for Jesus is never a dull moment. In fact, it's an adventure. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus is speaking and He says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com. We have all heard how unforgiveness only hurts you and not the other person. That is true. It also hurts our Heavenly Father. The older I get, the more I realize the enemy's tactic in destroying relationships, and one is unforgiveness. As a follower of Jesus, we should all desire to be used by Him to the utmost. But if you are holding on to unforgiveness, it makes it difficult. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, "When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Many times the reason why our prayers are not being answered, it isn't always because of the devil. There are times it's you, it's me, it's us. Today is a perfect day to let it go and ask God to help you move on so that He can use you to get more kingdom work done on this earth. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
We overcome tonight because it's in God that we live and move and have our being. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph, to overcome through the power of His name.
The music of Alvin Slaughter, the song "Mighty Praise." Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the humility of discipleship, and we're talking about what real humility is. And again, it's often, again, as we look at the topic, it's often misunderstood what humility is. Again, quiet people might be humble, and they might just be fearful or timid, or they might just be quiet. But humility is not necessarily being quiet. Humility is submission to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The most humble person that ever walked the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked in complete submission to the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the will of God. And so it's important to know, as believers, we're to strive to be like the Lord Jesus altogether in this regard, to continually live submitting to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So we were talking about the story in John chapter 11, where Jesus has come to where Mary and Martha are, and their brother Lazarus has died. And when Jesus arrives, again, as you read through the passage, you'll find it appears Mary and Martha are kind of ticked with Jesus. He didn't come immediately when they sent word. In fact, it appears that it was somewhere around maybe 6 to 7 days between the time when Jesus got word and he arrives at the place, because when they arrive there, Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. So they're not very happy with Jesus. And if you can picture them, the attitude is one of probably wanting to fuss with Jesus, just one of basically saying, Lord, if you'd picked up and came quicker, you could have gotten here and helped raise our brother from his illness, and now he's died, and you just took your time, and you even missed the funeral, Jesus. You didn't come. But keep in mind, Jesus followed the Holy Spirit, and he came when the Holy Spirit told him to come. But Jesus came right on time. So, you know, the passage also speaks of, it says Jesus wept. Now, keep in mind, Jesus wasn't crying over Lazarus' death per se, because he knew he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he may have been mourning over the fact that people have so much confidence in death and what death does in our world as well. But anyway, he proceeds to the gravesite, and he stands before the tomb, and he lets them know the tomb, you know, the rock is to be removed. And there was protest. Wait, Lord, he's been in there for several days. He's probably stinking terribly. No, we don't want to open the grave. Jesus lets them know, no, open it up. And then he calls Lazarus forth, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he specifically says Lazarus. Now, you might say, well, why did he have to say Lazarus, come forth? Because remember, Jesus has the authority of he is God. He's the Son of God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if he had just said, come forth, he might have had 100 mummies to come out of that cave, because, again, all of them would have responded to the authority of the voice and the name of Jesus. But he specifically said, Lazarus, come forth. And out steps Lazarus, all wrapped up like a mummy. And he responds, and he tells him, loose him and let him go. But the fact is, why did Jesus do as he did? Why did he wait? Because he was following the direction of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is always right. He's always correct. And not only did they have their brother back, they have him raised from the dead. And of course, when he's loosed, obviously he's not sick anymore either. And so great glory went to the Lord through this incident. So Jesus wasn't late. Jesus was right on time. Why? Because he followed the Holy Spirit. The more we all learn to listen to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the more we'll be right on time. Not late, not early, but right on time. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is never wrong. He always knows how to guide and direct us to use us. And remember this, it's so important that we read the Word of God as a guidebook for life. And, you know, Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're to read God's word in order to apply it. What a tragedy it is that many believers read the word of God, may read it very often, but often we have not responded in obedience to God's word like we would. If we did, we would be much more courageously doing so many more things that God has clearly told us to do. God has called us to be a people of prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. So part of what that means is we're to fill our lives with prayer. We're to be praying every day throughout the day, just time and time again, praying about big things, little things, all the in-between things. And remember, as we obey the Word of God in that regard, we're acting in humility. Because remember, humility is submission to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So a prayer-filled life is living the life of humility God has called us to live. So if a believer is living a prayer-filled life, that's a life of humility. On the other hand, if we are living a pretty prayerless life, That's pride. That's pride. Now, some might say, well, no, I would object to that. I'm just a busy person. I have a full schedule. I have lots of things to do. I mean to pray more. I just don't get around. That's pride. A prayerless life is a pride-filled life because, again, when we live prayerlessly, it's basically with an attitude of, I can handle this on my own. I have the wisdom, the counsel, the understanding I need. I don't need to pray that much because I sort of know what to do. Now, the reality is, no, you don't, neither do I. Wise believers fill their life up with prayer. God doesn't say pray without ceasing for his health. The fact is, he says pray without ceasing because we need to live a lifestyle that way. And remember this, if you would think there was anyone that could have lived a prayerless life, you might think it was Jesus because he was the Son of God. He's God. But Jesus was a person of prayer to where he had seasons of prayer where he went aside. He'd get up early in the morning and go off by himself to pray. But then he prayed throughout the day. He stayed in communion with his Heavenly Father. And again, there's a need for us to really broaden our understanding of how you would really define prayer, because prayer is our intimate walk with God. So it's much more than the time you may spend on your knees on your bed before you go to sleep at night, or whether you maybe sit up and do it. Again, prayer is to be an intimate, close fellowship relationship, walk with God continually. So we all need to pray more. I don't know anyone that prays too much. I know a lot of folks, including myself, that don't pray enough. We all need to pray more. We need to pray, Lord, bless my prayer life, prosper it. So let's take a moment even now. Father, thank you, Lord, for the prayer life of every single believer listening. Thank you for your hand of grace upon our prayer lives. And thank you for the opportunity for us to pray every day. Thank you for the truth that as we live a prayer-filled life, more and more we're living in the life of humility you've called us to. Father, bless the prayer life of every single one of us today, Father, indeed. Expand its territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. And Lord, thank you for the prayer lives of all the churches represented, of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, period, Father. Bless all of our prayer lives, Father, indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I would challenge you and encourage you to pray the prayer of Jabez over your prayer life every single day. Why? Because remember, when we work. But when we pray, God works. So when we're wise enough to walk in humility, enough to where we pray a lot, do you know God's work gets done a whole lot more? And also, as you live a prayer-filled life, the Holy Spirit's voice gets louder and louder in your life. And also, you move by the influence of the Holy Spirit more and more faithfully as you live a prayer-filled life. And so again, remember, a prayer-filled life is a life lived in humility. A prayerless life is a life of pride. Now, you can argue with that all day long if you want, but it's pride that will keep us from living a much more prayerful life. Why? Because again, remember, all sin is one in one form or another is pride. It's deciding to do things our own way rather than God's way. So remember, humility is submission to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. On the other hand, pride is not submitting to the Word of God and not submitting to the Spirit of God. All of us have to trust God to help us to work on that. All of us need to lean heavily on the Holy Spirit to help us to walk in humility and to walk in obedience to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, which, again, is a life of humility. The Word of God, again, tells us, I like to often quote the verse, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember, as a believer, you should be a faithful and a diligent student of God's Word. Why? Because, again, the reading of God's Word is an act of humility as well. You know, if we make it a high priority to really spend time reading and meditating on God's Word every day, that's great humility. On the other hand, when you find believers that say, well, you know, I mean to read the Bible, but I'm just so busy, I have so much on my plate, just don't get around to it. If you're not spending time in the Word of God, significant time in His Word, again, it's pride. It's pride and it's disobedience as well. Now, again, you can argue if you want, but the fact is, if you make spending time reading and meditating on the Word of God a high priority, that's an act of humility. If you just don't get around to it, again, you just don't make time to do it, that's your pride at work. We're called to be people that make prayer one of the high priorities of our life, which is an act of humility. We're called to make the reading and studying of the Word of God one of the high priorities of our life as well. All of us are called to do that. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, it tells a very important story, of course, the chapter we read at the beginning of the broadcast, and it was Solomon. And Solomon went to Gibeon, and he sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. And the next night, God stepped into his dream and basically told him, ask whatever you want. And so Solomon prayed a very wise prayer. Just basically what he said was, Lord, give me wisdom to be the kind of king you want me to be, because I need wisdom and your grace to help me be that kind of king. And the scripture clearly points out God was very pleased at that. God was very pleased at that. Now, why was that? Why did that please God? Because Solomon was humble enough and wise enough to ask for help. You know, as human beings, there's so many instances where we really should pray and ask God for counsel and wisdom and guidance and help to do things we're supposed to do. But too oftentimes, we just plow ahead without praying and asking God for help at all. Well, remember, that's pride. That's pride. To not pray about a matter is pride. It's kind of like telling God, God, I got this. I really don't need your help. I don't need your hand. I don't need your wisdom. I'm smart enough to handle this on my own. Now, that's not smart. That's not wise, because the reality is we're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as wise as we think we are. We need a lot of help. Remember, in Psalm 23, King David refers to us as being sheep. And sheep, again, that's what God refers to us as being sheep throughout the Word of God. Now, why is that? God's not trying to insult us. He's just telling the truth. We're like sheep. Sheep are vulnerable. They're not very smart. In fact, kind of dumb a lot of the times, and do some foolish things. And sheep need a shepherd. The fact is, you and I need a shepherd all the time, every day. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We need our shepherd, and we're wise to lean heavily on our shepherd. And so the more we spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God and obeying the Word of God and following the Spirit of God, again, that's a life of humility. And as we do that, we'll bless us. Solomon was wise enough to ask God for wisdom to be the kind of king he wanted to be. So that was a great act of humility rather than assuming, Lord, I know how to be king. He was wise enough to ask for wisdom, and God gave it to him. Again, in his humility, he asked for the wisdom to be the kind of king God wanted him to be, and God gave him that wisdom. He gave him that humility, and he gave him that wisdom as well. So you and I would be wise to ask for wisdom every single day. And remember, if we don't ask God for wisdom in every area of our life, it's pride. It's pride. Now, again, you may want to argue, but it's pride to not ask for the wisdom to do what you and I are called to do, because we need God's wisdom. And real humility will move us to do just that, to acknowledge, Lord, we need a lot of help. We need wisdom and guidance and grace. Much like the prayer Jehoshaphat prayed when Israel was under attack, the nation was under attack, Judah was under attack, and Jehoshaphat called the nation together, and part of his prayer was, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's humility. And we need to walk in that kind of humility every single day, often, because the fact is we really need a whole lot more help than we as human beings think. So the wisest lifestyle to live is a life of humility, humble enough to continually say, God, give me wisdom and guidance and grace and help. Help me to be the kind of man or woman you want me to be. Help me to be the husband or wife you want me to be. Help me to be the dad or mom you want me to be. Help me to be the preacher, the doctor, the lawyer, the teacher, the janitor, the farmer. Give me the wisdom to be the kind of worker you want me to be, because without your help, I don't know how to do it right. And that's so accurate, because without God's help, you cannot be at your best. There's no way in the world you can be at your best without the hand of God to help you. So we're wise to be a people that will look to God for help in that way. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us. You give us the opportunity every single day to seek your wisdom, to seek your help, to seek your guidance in every part of life. Anoint us with the grace to be that kind of person that asks your wisdom and grace every day and in every part of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our topic is the humility of discipleship. We'll be right back.
Deep down where you live with you, unless you cover it over with fake stuff, there is this hole that only he can fill.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why life can never be full until it's filled with the Lord.
And so to make that eternal connection is God's answer to the question of purpose, meaning.
The benefits of looking at life from an eternal perspective. This week on The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans.
Join Norman Geisler, Richard Land, Michael Brown, Frank Turek, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Register by May 1st and receive a special gift. Visit ses.edu for details.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hebrews chapter 5 talks about immature believers who still need spiritual milk because they're not ready for solid food. Dr. Tony Evans says there are certain characteristics of Christians on that kind of diet. He'll tell us what the author of Hebrews says about them today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
A milk Christian, he says, is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. What does he mean? A milk Christian is a Christian who does not and has not developed the habit of going to the Word to answer the issues of life. It's not their habit to appeal to the Word to address life's realities. Milk Christians go to their friends first. They look at what the secular world has to say first because they're not used to it. They haven't developed the habit of appealing to what God has to say to address the realities of life. It says they're not used to using it, and so they stay on milk. It says they're not accustomed to using it. It does not say they're not accustomed to hearing it. You get these newborn babies, and they be regurgitating a lot. Milk be running all down the side of their mouths and all that, because sometimes they don't keep it. After the service today, I'm going to take a cloth out to the parking lot so I can wipe the mouths of those who've regurgitated the sermon before they've ever left the property. Because if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
Learn how to move on toward maturity by understanding the big picture of your faith. Check out Tony's CD series, The Eternal Perspective, available online at tonyevans.org. And then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came. Even second times around, happiness could not be found until love came. I was left all alone.
My heart was breaking.
Thought was my
soul
own.
Was aching.
Tears covered me.
Weeping through the whole night.
And I need some relief.
Joy comes in the morning.
I've been searching for
many years now.
The keys to life's door. Brought to my knees,
Savior, can you help me?
And was led to believe.
I'll tell you, I was too
His love showed me love, said not so. Even with fight against me. Love showed me love said not so. Without a reason or cause, reason, joy, place, don't pause until love came.
The music of BB and CC Winans, the song Love Said Not So. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of the humility of discipleship. The humility of discipleship. You know, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 30, these words were spoken by John the Baptist. He said, after some of his disciples complained about it, it appeared to them that people were going to following after Jesus and his disciples more, and fewer people were coming after him and pursuing his baptism. But he let them know. Again, he was rejoicing at seeing the work of God being done through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, he told his disciples, he must increase, but I must decrease. I want you to listen to the wisdom behind that verse once again. And then again, this is John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. That should describe the life of every disciple all over the world. It should be our longing and our desire to live in such a way that Jesus is increasing in our lives, in our hearts, in our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do, and we become less and less, so much so that the things we do when we've moved out of a given situation, people don't necessarily remember us at all, but they remember the fact that Jesus spoke through you. Or he reached through you and blessed them and encouraged them. They remember the Jesus that dwells inside of us. We're to live in such a way that daily we will decrease and the Jesus inside of us increases more and more and more. Humility is to characterize the life of a disciple. We're not trying to become famous and make a big name for ourselves. We're to seek to live in such a way that Jesus shines through us, through our words, our actions, our attitude, the things we say, the things we do. How does that happen? Again, as we're diligent students of God's word. That's an act of humility because it's through the study of the word of God. That's one of the means whereby the Holy Spirit does a lot of molding and shaping on your life and helps you to grow and grow stronger and stronger. And that's an important goal to remember. That should be our goal every single day, to spend time in the word of God. And do it in such a way that every single day we're growing stronger in the Lord. And see, when you spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, God is working on you. It's almost like, if you can think of it this way, when you're spending time reading and meditating on God's Word, the Holy Spirit has reached into your heart. He's molding and shaping and working on you. He's whittling on you and working on you and helping you more and more to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why you and I need to spend time in the Word of God. And yes, reading and meditating on God's word, again, is an act of humility all by itself. And remember, when we're so busy, we don't have time, we don't make time to get into the word of God. Again, that's pride at work. And we can make all the excuses we want. It's your pride that allows you to get away with spending significant time in the word of God. So spending time in the word is so, so important. And also, the more we spend time praying and making prayer a high priority of our lives. So remember, a prayerless life is a pride-filled life. And as much as people would like to deny that, again, it's pride that basically has the attitude of, oh, I don't really need to pray that much because I'm already smart. I'm already wise. I know how to be a good dad or mom, a good husband, a good policeman or farmer or educator or whatever you may do. I got this. No, you don't. Neither do I. We all need the Holy Spirit a whole lot. So we need to heavily make one of the high priorities of our lives seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Time in the Word of God and time with God in prayer. So part of what that means is you and I need to make it a high priority to have a time of prayer, like, for example, in the morning before you leave going to work, obviously, but being prayerful throughout the day and also praying in the evening as well, significant time in prayer, spending that time in prayer. But also, it's good for us to ask the Lord to help us to wake up in the night seasons and really spend time one-on-one with God when it's quiet, when you can get by yourself and really spend time with God in prayer. Now, if you think to yourself, well, I'm just so tired, I couldn't get up in the middle of the night, ask God. He'll help you. He'll help you out. But if you don't ask, you may just sleep and slumber throughout the night and think you still didn't get enough rest. But you know, the Holy Spirit can help you wake up and really spend time in the night seasons in such a way that you can still wake up and feel refreshed and blessed. Now, you know, you need to get some rest, but the reality is all of us would be wise to spend some of our night time with God one-on-one in prayer. And remember, a prayer-filled life is a life of humility because we recognize I need a lot of help, and so I'm going to seek that help from God in prayer. That's a life of true humility. Remember, Jesus spent much time during his earthly ministry praying, just walking in close fellowship relationship through prayer, one-on-one with his Heavenly Father. If Jesus needed to do that, who in the world am I to think I don't need to do the same thing? So a prayer-filled life is a life of humility. A prayerless life is a life of pride. And again, no matter how much, remember this, being in ministry and serving is all good and fine, but everybody needs to make prayer a high priority. Every believer, every single believer in all the world needs to make spending significant time in prayer a high priority because we need to. Again, when God said pray without ceasing, he was talking to all of us, every one of his children, because again, so many good things happen, and amongst other things, it helps us become more and more, it helps us to walk more and more in a close fellowship relationship with the Holy Spirit. Remember, our walk with God is to be a partnership between us and the Holy Spirit every day, not just every once in a while, not from time to time when we think God wants to use us. God wants to use you every day. He wants to use you all day long throughout the day. God's got work all over the place to be done, but he has a lot of children that, sadly, God has a lot of children that tell him no every day. Now, you might say, I would never tell God no. Well, when we disobey the leading of the Holy Spirit, we're telling God no. When the Holy Spirit prompts you to give that person the $5 bill out of your purse or your wallet, you know, sometimes we may try to say, no, that couldn't be God. That's my last $5 bill. Don't you know God knows how much money you've got, and he knows exactly what he wants to give you? But remember, all our things really belong to God. All of our stuff belongs to God. You know that car that you drove to work? You know that's really God's car? And if you don't believe that, watch what happens when you go home to be with the Lord. Watch how quick you lose ownership of that car of yours, or that house you live in, or the clothes you wear. All of our stuff, yes, in a sense it's yours, because again, God gives you ownership. But at a certain point in time, you lose all of it. It's ultimately God's. So if God asks me for some of it, who am I to say, no, God, this is my stuff? No. Don't be like the little boy who's sitting in McDonald's with his dad one day. He bought him some fries, and he's sitting there. And he reaches over to get a couple of fries from his son. And his son pulls back and says, no, Dad, these are my fries. He's forgetting the fact that his dad bought them. And his dad could take all of them from him if he wanted to. Or he could say, go bury my son in fries. You know, he could buy him a whole lot more. But it's not so much the dad wants to take his fries, but the dad wants the freedom to get a fry or two if he wants to, anytime he asks. And we should have the attitude of, sure, God, you can have all my fries if you like. You gave them all to me. That's the attitude we should live with. So we're to be listening to the Spirit of God and following the Spirit of God. God has work for all of us to do all over the place. In our last few minutes, I want to share with you a story I've shared before, but it's a touching story about listening to God. Because remember, when we read and obey the Word of God and we follow the Spirit of God, God will use us. Because often, the reason we even have leading to do certain things is because God is using us to answer prayer. And when we obey God, God will use us. Let me share this touching story here. A young man had been to Wednesday night Bible study, and the pastor had shared about listening to God and obeying the Lord's voice, and the young man couldn't help but wonder, does God still speak to people? After service, he went out with some friends for coffee and food, and they discussed the message, and several ones talked about how God had led them in different ways. And it was about 10 o'clock when the young man started driving home. Sitting in his car, he started to pray and said, God, if you still speak to people, talk to me. I'll listen. I'll do my best to obey you. And as he drove down the main street of his town, he had the strangest impression to go and buy a gallon of milk. He shook his head and said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply, and he started on toward home. But then he got the leading, go buy a gallon of milk. So the young man thought about Samuel and how he didn't recognize the voice of God and how little Samuel ran to Eli. The man said, "Okay, God, in case it's you, I'm going to buy the milk." He stopped and bought it. It didn't seem like it was a difficult thing to do, and he thought to himself, "I can always use the milk." He stopped and bought the gallon of milk and started toward home, and then as he passed 7th Street, he felt an urge to turn down 7th Street. He thought, "This is crazy," and he drove on past that street. Again, he felt the leading to turn around and go back to 7th Street. So he thought, "Okay, I'll turn around." At the next intersection, he turned around, went back, and headed down 7th Street. Half jokingly, he said out loud, "Okay, God, I will." So he drove several blocks back to where he was, where he felt led to turn down. And he pulled over to the curb, looked around, because at a certain point, he just felt impressed to stop right here. So he stopped. And so the businesses were closed in the community and had houses and businesses as well. But he stopped by the house he felt impressed to stop by. And he sensed something. He sensed a voice saying, "Go and give milk to the people in that house across the street." The young man looked at the house. It was dark, and it would look like people were either gone to bed or they were already asleep. And he started to open the car door. Then he sat back down in his car and said, "Lord, this is insane. Those people are sleeping. If I wake them up, they're going to think I'm crazy, and I'm going to look stupid." Again, he just battled with himself. Finally, he opened the door and said, "Okay, God, if this is you, I'm going to go to the door. I'm going to give them the milk. If you want me to look like a crazy guy, okay, I want to be obedient. I guess that counts for something." He walked across the street, rang the doorbell, heard some rustling inside. Then he heard someone say, "Who is it? What do you want?" Then a man opened the door before the young man could run away. And the man said, "What is it?" The young man thrust out the gallon of milk. He said, "Here, I brought this to you." The man took the milk, rushed down a hallway, speaking loudly in Spanish. Then from down the hallway came a woman carrying the milk toward the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a baby. The baby was crying. The man had tears streaming down his face. The man began speaking and half crying. "We were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we ran out of money. We didn't even have any money for milk for our baby, and I was just praying, and I asked God to show me how to get some milk." His wife in the kitchen yelled out, "I asked him to send an angel with some milk. Are you an angel?" The young man reached in his wallet and pulled out the cash that he had and gave it to the man. He turned and walked back towards his car with tears streaming down his face. He recognized that not only does God still speak to his people, he recognized that his God answers prayer and he uses his people to answer them. How important it is that you and I learn that God wants us to be humble enough to listen to his word and his spirit, because that's how God's work gets done. When God's people will say yes, Lord, to what he tells us in his word, when we're humble enough to say yes, Lord, and humble enough to obey the spirit of God, God will use us to get his work done every day of our lives. Ask God to help you walk in humility every single day. Lord, empower us to be a people that are walking in humility in word and deed every day so that you can use us to glorify your name daily. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we looked at the topic of the humility of discipleship. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.